For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Going on, Blue Jays fans, and welcome to another edition of Jay Bird Watching. We are part of the StadiumScene.tv network. I am your host this evening, Adam Corsair, and we are coming off a split series victory for the Blue Jays, beating the Oakland A's. And of course, joining me are my usual co-hosts, Mr. Craig Borden and Mr. Brendan Panikkar. Gentlemen, split the series against the A's. What more can we ask for, right? Four-game series. It's not that bad, right?
It's all you need in a four-gamer.
I'll take that all day, every day, especially with how good the Oakland A's have been, right?
Yeah.
100%. Yeah.
And whatever it takes to bring out Simeon's magic stuff, if that means taking trips to the Bay Area, whatever.
That was the secret sauce for him this week.
Hey, he gets in his own bed.
There it is. Hang out home with the wife and the kids, get a recharge. Call it a day.
See his friends. All right, so look, we're at a record right now of 16-14. We are two games above 500, and even though this will probably put the Jays, I think, in third in the AL East, if I'm not mistaken, it's still pretty tight within the entire AL East. I think the last place team, if that was us, I'm not quite sure what it was, but it was only three games back, right? And I think because the Red Sox lost, this will put us two games back. So it's not too bad. So far, the Jays have been, you know, hit or miss. We're going to talk about injuries and whatnot today. But in a general sense, Brendan, we'll start with you. How do you like the Jays since last week? And without getting into too much detail with the injuries, are you satisfied with their playing? Are you concerned? What's the deal?
I'm more than satisfied. I think just based on what we all predicted at the end of the show last week, I don't think anybody predicted more better than 4-3. And I think that's pretty reasonable considering you're playing Atlanta and a hot Oakland team. And what do? They go out and sweep the Braves and then lose the first two to the Athletics. And the offense woke up the last 2 days and they were able to salvage the split. And, you know, my rule, whenever I pick in a four-game series, I always say just aim for two. Three out of four, especially on the road, is very, very hard to get. And so they did that. And a 5-2 last seven games since we last recorded, I think it's phenomenal considering some of the circumstances that have evolved since the Braves series. So being two games up going into, or two games above 500 going into Houston on the weekend, I think that's fantastic, especially because, as we'll cover, some of the Astros pitchers they're going to face. I think tomorrow it's Jose Urquidy. And then on Sunday, it's looking like Zach Greinke. So it's going to be tough pitching-wise, and the Astros have had a good start to their season. So you take one there, and then you could go finish the road trip going into Atlanta at 500 and have a chance to maybe win a series and come back to Dunedin for the final homestand at 500 or maybe a game or two above. I think that's exactly where this team needs to be, given all the stuff going on around the club right now.
What about you, Brendan? I mean, not Craig.
Come on, I have a beard like you. You should know this.
Sorry.
I know it's not quite as majestic, but
I just got it trimmed.
It is very, very nicely streamlined, unlike mine, who's going to get all scraggly unless I hurry up and figure something out.
Gotta go get a trim, man. Just gotta get the line up.
There you go. So, but yeah, no, what an exciting week. I know there was some plenty of good with mixed in with the bad and everything, because we could have very easily named this week's episode, like, Dropping Like Flies would be, you know, prevalent and all these other things. But the fact that in the midst of all this, they were actually able to pull it all together and actually show what kind of a close-knit group this team is and really run with it. The fact that you get to see Grichuk running in and doing as well as he's been doing over the last series, and a sweep against the Atlanta Braves. Who'd have thought that? We took out AA officially in that group. It was fine by me, you know, and we faced a good chunk of the We didn't have to. Did we really see anything out of Acuna other than the one home run, I think, is what he had? And other than that, and he's been literally on fire the whole season. Being able to keep him in the check, and along with Freddie Free and all the other guys that are going on in that, you know, Braves dugout, that was very, very encouraging to see them take it to a team that is going to probably make the playoffs easily at some point. You know, I don't get me wrong, the Mets are good, but the Braves are the team, I think, to beat in the National League East, just because they have the collective group, not the as many holes in that, I don't think, like the Mets have been showing.
Right.
But then going into the Oakland A's won how many games in a row? 15?
Yeah.
Is that what they won? And then we come in there and we're able to split after what looked like an ugly opening of the series, guys. I don't know how you both saw those first couple games and whatnot, but it was rough. And then being able to turn that frown upside down and at least walk out of there with a split. And it was the first time most of the guys on this team have actually played in Oakland Coliseum. Vladdy and them hadn't played there because the first season that they were up with the team in 2019, they didn't really play out there because they'd already finished the West Coast leg by the time they've all came up into the team. And then last year, obviously, being all isolated on the East Coast and then only playing the Rays in the playoffs, they never really got to play any of those teams out west. So it was probably very intriguing and different for them at the same time, as that ballpark is the worst place to hit in, basically, in my opinion. I think it consistently ranks on the low end of the park factor stuff. Am I wrong with that statement?
No.
Because of how much foul territory and ridiculous space there is in that ballpark.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But it was nice to see Robbie Ray and everybody do well, and then Ryu coming back today and looking like Ryu. That was very intriguing and good for the Blue Jays moving forward, because that was the one spot that was going to kill us, I think, going forward, was not having Ryu to be able to at least spell the bullpen every fifth day. And yes, I know he was in and out a little quicker today because of the whole injury thing, but playing in the right direction, I think, is the right key here, guys. And not to mention, great week. We're above 500 still.
two games over 500. And look, the one player that stands out to me the most, a lot of talk has been on Marcus Semien. Danny Jansen hit a home run today. Kevin Biggio starting to hit a little bit, even though
you just had to squeak that in.
Well, I mean, like, I still have my concerns, especially with the launch angle swing. He's swinging under pitches a bunch, and it's getting to me. But that's a whole different conversation. We bring it up every week. I will say, and give credit where credit's due, man, who are the fucking idiots that said trade Randall Grichuk, right?
I was thinking that same thing. That's what we should have named the episode we were talking about before. Trade Randall? Question?
Yeah. Who said that? Just fucking amateurs.
I think all of us did.
I thought he was going to be the odd man out, but I really wish we could have actually kept him, because I was wondering if this was ever going to happen. And I know all Blue Jays fans have been saying this for years. This is what I think everybody thought we were going to be getting from Randall Grichuk over the years, what we're seeing right now. And I can only hope and pray that this isn't a flash in the pan. Because at a minimum here, we're showing that he's a trade chip. At the regular part, he is a fixture in this lineup. There is no lose there if this is how he keeps playing. So let's see it. Ride it out. Go Randall. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, I don't even want him to be a trade chip at all.
Not with all the injuries and shit.
The injuries, but honestly, with Rowdy not showing too much and his limited flexibility in terms of playing positions, you could play Randall in all three outfield spots. And then with, obviously, Springer's injury that we'll talk about shortly, you can give him way more time at DH without Rowdy. And you can keep Randall in there. You could keep Lourdes and Teoscar. So now, you know what? Rowdy's the odd man out, and ride Grichuk as long as you can. And maybe this is for real.
Well, Brendan, you just teed it off, so let's just head right into it. Let's get to the unfortunate news, as you just mentioned. George Springer will return back to the 10-day IL, retroactive May 3rd, as he re-aggravated his quad. However, during today's broadcast of the game, Shulman did mention that I think Atkins said that he probably won't return after the 10-day stint. He probably need a little bit more time. In other words, the minimum probably won't do it.
Probably 10 days on the IL, right?
Yeah, I think it'll be a little bit longer. I mean, look, I mentioned on last week's episode that he looked a little ginger running the bases. Didn't look completely up to speed. He wasn't at full strength. But you have to imagine that with the clout that he's had and that he's earned, and, you know, given the fact that he's the highest paid contract in Blue Jays history, he probably has more of a say as to when he wants to sit and when he won't than most players on the team, if not every other player on the team, maybe besides Ryu. That being said, there seemed to be some mixed messaging when it came to his injury status, with Charlie Montoyo really playing the cliche game, leading us to believe that it wasn't as serious as it actually was. I mean, leg fatigue, what the fuck does that even mean? And yet here we are. So, Craig, let's kick it off with you here. There are a plethora of other injuries we'll get to, but given that this instance in a vacuum, does it instill confidence in you in regards to how the team is handling injuries in general moving forward with other players? And how much of this is of a concern is this to you when it comes to George Springer, literally our prize asset for this team?
Well, just to get the leg fatigue thing out of the way, leg fatigue is how I felt after freaking softball for the first time this year on Monday night. That was just, I'm out of shape, I'm fat, I can't move, I'm not 20s in my 20s anymore, I can't bounce back apparently after a whole winter of no baseball. So, that being said, that's what leg fatigue is. Yeah. Just to hear Montoyo even saying that, I was like, okay, come on. We knew it wasn't leg fatigue after the first day he missed. You know, it was one thing if he came back after that, you know, day off, that it would have been, yeah, great. He just needed a day off, whatever. He's back in there. And the thing that pisses me off about that the most is his bat speed actually looks like it was legit back in normal. The timing was there. So the fact that, you know, if he was DHing.
Right.
And he was hitting. If he needs day offs while he's DHing, there is a problem. It's just how it is. I'm sorry to say it. And maybe they rushed him back, or maybe he thought he was more closer to being 100% than he actually found out to be once he finally got on the field. They should just hurry up and did that and gotten anybody back up, Jonathan Davis back up, to be able to, you know, help out in that ridiculously large outfield in Oakland, especially for that series. Just because, I'm sorry to say, as far as Teoscar has been doing really well in right field, that outfield and that monster outfield in Oakland with Jonathan Davis looks a lot more defensively sound, and that's what we actually saw in the lineup today. Mm-hmm. So, as much as that goes, especially without having Springer, you know, that DH spot is the spell everybody a day spot right now. And it doesn't matter who it is. And now there's plenty of other injuries going on, too. So now that DH spot is open like that, it's almost like another test spot. Throw a couple rookies in, spell somebody that is a regular to be sure that they don't continue to add to this injury bug nonsense that we keep getting. But this Springer thing is just gotta, I'd rather almost not hear anything about Springer for the next month and let him get healthy and then be able to run with it. I know, exactly. That's exactly the problem. But like I said, I'd rather just almost like let him fly under the radar here for a couple weeks and hope he gets healthy, because I honestly think that the pressure of everything is like, hey, I'm making a lot of money. The Blue Jays fans are expecting me to be out there, is why we even saw the little glimpse that we did. And then we are unfortunately right back to where we are. And this feels almost too Vernon Wells to me, and it's kind of starting to hurt already.
Yeah. Let's say you, Vernon.
It feels like when he played on Wednesday and you saw him run a little bit on Wednesday and Friday whenever he had to run the bases, it seemed like he was doing all right. Like, there was obviously a little bit of a limp, but it was very clear after his first at-bat on Saturday and he grounded out and hustled down the line. You could very clearly see him grab his quad after he touched first base. And that was the re-aggravation of the injury. Now, I'm thankful as hell that he played the rest of the game, because they wouldn't have won the game without him, as he proceeded to hit two mammoth home runs, especially that 470-foot one. So the fact that we only got to see a small preview of George Springer, at least it was super impactful. But at the same time, it sucks seeing him do what he did on Saturday get a little glimpse and have it shut right back down again. Cause I'm like, man, I want more of this. Everybody on Saturday night on Blue Jays Twitter was like, oh my God, I'm in absolute awe by what this guy can do. Just get your legs a little bit healthier. If not for the re-aggravation, it seemed like, I guess maybe the plan was, you know what, Skip, I'm 90% good to go. If I DH for a few days, it'll naturally heal up. If I don't tweak anything, and unfortunately he did. I was surprised to see him back in the lineup on Sunday. I really was. I truly think Sunday and even Monday was a little bit of, okay, all right, maybe it is fatigue or just getting your legs back under you or whatever. But after we didn't see his name in the lineup on Tuesday and there was another dance on Wednesday and all of those quotes from Charlie Montoyo came out, I'm like, guys, like, just put him on the injured list at this point. Like, there's no point in keeping him on the bench right now. Everybody clearly saw his injury. Get him healed up. At this point, unfortunately, I would be very surprised if we see him before the end of May. I'm optimistic that maybe it truly will be maybe another week after his stint on the IL is done, but do it right this time. No more 90%, 95% stuff. Make sure he's really good to go and can come back at 100%, because 100% of George Springer is way better than 50% as the DH. But at the same time, 50% of George Springer is way better than nothing. So figure it out, get him back, and we got a nice little glimpse of what he could do, and it's super exciting moving forward. So get healthy, man.
Can I summarize?
Yeah, go for it.
All I heard is Brendan is getting sick of being teased and getting blue balls over having George Springer in the lineup.
Yeah,
that's it. It's just like last year, I would have been so pissed off if we saw opening day come around in 2020, got to go to games, and then have it shut down because of COVID a week later. I'd be like, wow, that was such a tease. And who knows how much longer this is going to go. I would have rather we not see him the last few days and just get him healthier so that we can see him for the rest of the year. You know what I mean? It's just kind of like, we got a little taste and I want that much more, and to not be able to have that, it sucks.
Bro, I was the one that said, keep him out till May. Right.
Yeah,
and I feel like this was a little rush back. And again, I don't know how much of this was his say. I would imagine the vast majority, if not all of it, was him saying, I'm good to go. But look, to me, it's sort of typical, right? When the Blue Jays have something nice, it sort of, you know, blows up in our face. And I don't want to get too, I don't want to get too down here. I don't want to make it seem like I think this is all doom and gloom. But so far, despite the fact that we're two games over 500, just the way it feels more like 2013 than 2015.
Yes, right, you're now. Right.
You know, and it just, I'm not saying the result is going to end the same way, but it's very uneasy for me. There's a dark cloud just like sort of hovering over the Jays, or at least trailing behind it and trying to catch up to them. And it's worrisome. And again, we're going to get into all these injuries later, but you know, for a team that's so hardcore obsessed with analytics, with performance, with their development, with their performance center, you would think that they would have a decent handle on this, better than other teams. And it just, I don't know, maybe there's pressure from the fan base, but again, you're not playing in front of fans in Toronto. So I don't necessarily think that would factor in. Even if they were, I don't know that that would factor in that much. But for me, it's just, what are we doing here? What are we doing? Like, all I can hear right now in my head is this is going to be one of those, hey, it's like getting a new trade deadline guy named George Springer, and you got him for the next 5.5 years. Like, that's
so sick of hearing that, though, because we get that every year.
I feel like that's coming. For sure.
Yeah, 100%. And that was the Alex Anthopoulos thing at 2014 when there was a lot of injuries and they came back around the trade deadline. And that's what it was before he finally pulled the big trigger in 2015. So, no, I can see that already happening.
Yeah. I don't know.
Shocked it hasn't.
Yeah. I'm just concerned with what this means when it comes to other players. And we can dive into them right now. But, man, this is just another kick in the balls. But otherwise, the season, even though we're making it sound like doom and gloom, and I mentioned a dark cloud, season's been okay. We're still two games over 500. So There is that, but
you're saying it could be better.
It could be. we could be right up there in first place had George Springer been here from day one, but, you know, ifs and buts, you know, candy and nuts. let's move on. There's a whole buffet list of other injuries that the team is dealing with. Julian Merriweather was placed on the 60-day IL, and it doesn't look likely that we'll see him at all in 2021. Perhaps maybe a minor league stint at best towards the tail end, but that's, I think, being a little bit more optimistic. Alejandro Kirk is expected to, quote, miss 4 weeks with the hip flexor injury. Anthony Castro and Tommy Malone were placed on the IL. I believe Castro is dealing with a forearm injury. David Phelps had an MRI in his shoulder and is, quote, likely an IL candidate. Joe Panic, quote, felt something in his calf Wednesday, but is, quote, feeling better today. I don't know how
shouldn't
much
have been playing first
that.
Base yesterday.
Right. I mean, there is Rowdy. I know he hasn't been hitting, but he is a first baseman. He, too, had a precautionary MRI. This team is as thin as thread. So with that, Brendan, what are the team's options this early in the season? Or is it even early anymore? Should we be pushing to maybe explore trade candidates, explore maybe minor league depth? What do we do to mitigate these circumstances?
It seems like, and to Ben Nicholson-Smith, who put out a tweet today, that they are already doing their homework on the third base market. Kyle Seager is obviously one of the, probably going to be the bigger third base options out there. I'd be totally down with Kyle Seager. I think he's a good player. In terms of the bullpen injuries, just to touch on, I am not overly surprised at Julian Merriweather. I'm also not upset at it either, mainly because we knew that anything we'd get from Merriweather would be a bonus. And there was even a chance he wasn't even going to make the roster out of spring.
But
it's just the fact that he came out. It's the fact that he came out and was just absolutely unreal to start the season. And then he gets injured. It's like, man, why can't this guy stay healthy? The good thing, though, is he's been on the injured list for, what, 3 weeks, close to 4 weeks already? So that's eating up some of those 60 days because it's retroactive to there. So there is a chance maybe that it's mid-June return, but he's going to need to be built back up a little bit to get in pitching shape. I would be surprised if we see him before Canada Day at this point, probably. If a return or eligibility off the injured list is mid-June, probably need a week or maybe 2 or 3 weeks to build your arm strength back up. So yeah, probably around Canada Day. Castro, Malone, it is what it is. I think you can get by with what we saw today from Travis Bergen. He looked really good. There's also Ty Tice on the 40-man roster. The bullpen's very deep, so I'm really not concerned about the injuries there. But the one that I am concerned about is David Phelps, because he's just been so damn good.
Ben, he's the veteran amongst all those guys you just mentioned.
Exactly, and it's a shoulder injury, and that's never good. So if it's just inflammation, we'll see what happens. Hopefully it is just a case of him needing to rest for a little while. But Phelps came off a very major injury when the Blue Jays signed him for the first time, although I think that was Tommy John. So a little bit different than dealing with a shoulder, but your shoulder can fuck you up pretty damn bad as a pitcher. So Phelps for sure concerns me. But yeah, I think they're fine when it comes to the bullpen and their injuries. They can cover those innings. They just need the starters to go deeper, and it's trending in the right direction with the way Ray has pitched, Ryu coming back. Hopefully Matz can get back on a little bit of a roll here. And then whatever you can get from Stripling every fifth day, you know what? If he goes out and throws five innings, it's good enough for me.
What about you, Craig?
I think the biggest one that hurts the Blue Jays the most right now is we just started seeing Alejandro Kirk hit.
Yeah.
And he was that series, he was looking hot, guys. And I'm not going to lie, I really thought he was just going to walk out of that series as the everyday catcher. And then this. So, two home run game. And he had another one in there too, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, three home runs in a series. That's saying something, and that was basically, I think, was starting to be the end of anybody else having a chance to catch for the Toronto Blue Jays, regardless of whatever the hell he actually provides behind the plate. They needed a bat in that lineup at that position because it was been literally the void of offense for 2 years now, and the fact that he was actually showing something was very intriguing. And honestly, guys, I was a little pissed when they didn't give Riley Adams a chance the other day and then decided just to throw Reese McGuire out there into the game yesterday. Because I don't know how – did you guys watch any of his at-bats yesterday?
Reese?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw two of them.
Can you say out of his league at all?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I don't – he had a better chance of hitting water falling out of a boat than he was going to ever hit, you know, any of that other stuff. Because he was just, the timing was so screwed up. There's no way he could hit. I think he's going to actually hit worse than Danny Jansen is, which is saying a lot. See, he just hit his first home run, and I think he might actually be batting 100 now after today's game. That's not even the Mendoza line. It's half of it.
Oh, no, that's so, a shit line.
Yeah. That's, I should be playing in minor league baseball, which is playing right now, so why not just send everybody that way? But when you have nobody that can catch the damn ball and hit, we're going to keep seeing this malicious throwing of players through that catching spot if they don't figure out something. And if they're trying to really figure out this trading situation, I really would be shocked that they are not looking for a catcher with what's going on, especially when they, even with Kirk, we saw him trending well this last weekend, but you still don't have any clue that he's going to continue to do that. If you are indeed in a pennant race this year, they're going to be looking for a third baseman and a catcher and a starting pitcher going for this trade deadline. And I don't know if you guys caught it earlier this week, but while I was at work, I usually just have the MLB channel playing on my phone and listening to it. And one of the segments they were talking about at MLB Central was the fact of, when do you start pulling the ripcord on worrying about your team and what you've assembled over the offseason and start trying to find and target new players. And every one of them, this is Mark DeRosa, I forget the old Braves GM that's always on the MLB network. But anyway, they said they always made up their main decisions of who they were going to target around the 40 game mark. The Blue Jays just played their 30th game of the season today, as we are getting this recording done, and just took the split in Oakland. 30 games in 10 games, there's not a very big difference there. And I think the holes for the Blue Jays are very obvious and what they need to be targeting. And sadly, one and maybe two of these is things that we were assuming were going to be a problem this offseason that obviously have not been solved by any means. And I'm mostly targeting third base and the pitching rotation with that. We figured with at least the guys that we hit, we're going to shuffle through the catching spot, we were going to get something out of that rather than nothing. Unfortunately, that is clearly an issue right now as well. And one guy I thought that was really interesting that came up in a couple things this week with the Blue Jays as far as targets was Colin Moran for the Pirates. He's been trending up for the Pirates, and honestly, worst case scenario, we got a guy that actually plays solid defense over there. And in an American League East ballparks, he could be a guy that could actually come over and hit maybe 15, 20 home runs. Not bad a ton, but right now, anybody that bats 250 and can play defense should be playing for the Toronto Blue Jays as the third baseman right now.
Yes.
So they got to start getting that kind of ducks in a row, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what the options are when it comes to trade candidates, and, you know, because I feel like a lot of that has to do with the evaluation of their minor league talent. And in fairness, the minor leagues just started, right? So you're basing this off of a season that wasn't last year for a lot of these minor league guys who are just getting their first dose of actual competition day two or three now heading into it. It might take a little bit more than that 40 game mark because of the lack of minor league or the late start for the minor league season. But I agree with you, Craig. I think the Alejandro Kirk thing hurts a lot. And what pisses me off, Adams,
No reason. And right now, how is he any worse than any of them? I just don't understand. And to make room, bring freaking Reese McGuire back onto the 40-man roster, just
yeah, you know. And they DFA'd and he cleared waivers. Like, he's off. Yeah. So I don't know why. Maybe Faraday with the pitching staff, maybe that has a lot more to do with it than we're giving it credit for, because, you know, Adams would come up and, you know, kind of be thrown into it.
I get that, but the fact that Riley Adams was on the roster coming into spring training, so he had to have been taking reps the whole spring training with those guys. He might not know Ryu and them as well, but it's not like he's a stranger coming off the free agent wire. You know, if we sign Matt Wieters to a contract tomorrow, just because why not? You know, that would be the same argument, I feel like, and you'd still have an inside track with Riley Adams, I think.
I think it more had to do with probably Ray and his opinion on things, you know. That's because I think Kirk was Ray's choice when it came to catching, and maybe he didn't feel comfortable throwing to someone, because I, from what I've noticed about Ray, he doesn't like to shake off. He just kind of likes to get his pitch down and, you know, throw.
Reminds
what's
me
given.
Of Mark Burley with that. Just put the finger down. You know the report. Game on.
Yeah.
I only have to focus on throwing, which I think is maybe the reason on why he's actually been doing better as a Blue Jay.
Yeah. I don't know that Riley Adams has that experience yet. I don't know that he has it in him. So, you know, on the catching front, yes, I can see why that would be frustrating. There are options. Maybe Adams will get his opportunity more into the future. I don't know. But the infield, again, we brought this up last week. It's looking really, really barren. The third base is what concerns me the most, and the shuffling of outfielders. In no scenario do I want Teoscar playing left field. And I think it was yesterday's game that he was playing in left, or the game before, I'm not sure. But one of these Oakland games, he was playing in left field, and I was, what are you doing there? I don't know that I like Gavin Biggio in the outfield either. Honestly, I don't know that I like Gavin Biggio playing the field at all.
No.
You know?
I hate that we're even having that conversation. If they would give him a fucking home, I don't think we would have this conversation about Gavin Biggio.
You gave Simeon $18 million. Can't put him at second. You know, where are you going to put him? That's the thing. We don't have an actual third baseman on the team.
No.
And that's what's concerning to me.
And you're not moving Vlad back there.
No.
Who are suggesting that? Just don't even continue that thought. That's why I'm guessing Ben Nicholson-Smith tweet is very well timed. And Craig, to your point about it getting close to the 40-day mark, I guess my only question to some of those analysts are teams willing to trade this early on? Because I know Kyle Seager is a good player and he's off to a decent start. Surely you maybe want to wait a little bit longer if you're the Mariners to dump him in case he gets hot, and so you get the maximum return for a guy like Kyle Seager. I just don't know where you go for third base unless you just say, fuck it, let's call up Jordan Groshans at this point. They're not going to do that either. And it's obviously not going to be Austin Martin. He didn't even play last year. He's just in the alternate site. So
he's had a couple firsts in New Hampshire, though.
Yes.
Third base is a barren wasteland at this point, unfortunately. There's a lot of rotating guys in and out, so it'll be interesting to see what happens moving forward. It'd be nice for some stability, that's for sure.
Good.
I got. I thought this was curious, to the bullpen point that Brendan was trying to hammer home and why we really need starting pitching, and so I think it fits into this thing we're talking about here. The Blue Jays have the fifth most innings out of their bullpen in Major League Baseball, 123.2 innings so far this year. And just to put it out there, all the other teams minus the San Diego Padres, who are actually leading that category, all the other people have an ERA closer to four.
Jeez.
With that many innings. Which makes sense. You're just chewing up innings. And it's the Texas Rangers, Chicago Cubs, the Tampa Bay Rays actually have a 4.18 ERA, which is a bad spot for them, which has been a big strength for them over the years. They've had a lot of injuries in that bullpen, too. But then the San Diego Padres have eaten 141 and a third and somehow have a 2.74 ERA. They're in that same ballpark of wow that the Blue Jays are in. There is no reason in shit looking at these numbers, though, that the Blue Jays should have a good bullpen. It's too many too many innings, and the fact that they're keeping their K rate high and their walk rate low, all this stuff is really, really phenomenally, ridiculously weird. It's the best way I can say it, but I think that right there spells out you will have an immaculate shutdown, locked-in bullpen if you can somehow get some more innings out of your starting pitching.
Yeah, yeah. And just protects you moving forward in case some guys like Piamps or whoever turn back into a pumpkin. And then with Phelps potentially gone for a little while, there's a lot less guys that you trust down there. But it's still pretty solid, but they definitely need starters to go deeper.
Yeah, I don't know how eager they are to pull the trigger on trades right now. I would imagine they're not. And if they are going to make any trades, it'll be low-level, you know, non-impactful trades at this point. Maybe just for cast considerations or the famous player to be named later who gets tossed around. but you just can't find a team.
That guy's had the best career ever, hasn't he?
It's true. You know, yeah.
All these great holiday destinations.
That's it. You know, got to get his jersey while you can.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know what the answer is at this point. I would assume they're going to look internally. What else can you do and just ride what you got? But, you know, the season is, to me, it's no longer early. You know, you can lose a season in May. And not to say that the Blue Jays are on that path. They're certainly not, right? Right now, they need to capitalize because the division is ripe for the taking, right? And the Yankees are starting to wake up. They're starting to fall into a groove. The Red Sox are sort of, you know, I still don't buy it, but I feel like they're falling back to earth. They're going to raise. I think right now is the opportunity to sort of strike. And if you have to do it with some of your best players, but on the end list, but you're still winning games, then Blue Jays have a four-leaf clover up their ass, and they're making do. And hopefully come June, July, they'll be in stride, I would hope.
I don't know how to feel about it right now, because I very much feel that dark, rainy cloud that you referred to earlier, Adam. It very much feels like there's just, even though there's a lot of positivity around them being 16-14, two games above 500, and playing better the last few weeks, and guys like Simeon and Vlad and Bo are hitting more, and Teoscar looks great since coming off of the injured list, or I guess the COVID list. So there are some good signs, but just maybe it's just because the giant cloud is the George Springer injury and this has been handled. That's just making everybody feel like, yeah, but like, could you imagine if we were actually healthier and how much better we would be? That's what they have to do. I think, yeah, the division's right there for the taking, and you can lose the division in May and by Victoria Day or Memorial Day. They just need to enter June and get healthier and be at 500 or a game or two above, no more than two games below 500. Because if they're any more, I mean, three, four, five games below 500, that could fall really, really quickly if you get on a losing streak. But you can have a small little losing streak and get back into it. So, yeah, maybe the dark cloud is just the Springer injury. And maybe I also feel Blue Jays Twitter antsy and anxious for Nate Pearson, because that's another name that continues to be thrown around.
Do we need that talk
soon?
So, you bring him up, good.
So on that note, for the Blue Jays fans that haven't been following the minor league thing, because that's my thing. So to what you mentioned a minute ago, Austin Martin and Jordan Groshans coming up anytime soon playing third base appears to already be off to a rocky start. Both of them playing at Double A with the New Hampshire Fisher Cats, have neither of them started that position. So the first game of the New Hampshire Fisher Cats, Jordan Groshans played shortstop and Austin Martin played center field. Obviously, oh, wow. I think we know that Groshans eventually going to be the third baseman of the future, probably more likely than anything because of all the plethora of shortstops we have in the system. But Samad Taylor is quote-unquote a good third baseman for the New Hampshire Fisher Cats to at least lengthen their lineup up. So that just makes me wonder who the hell's sitting on that bench right now. But yeah. So take those two things right out of the window. But to opening night for the New Jersey / Buffalo Bisons, Nate Pearson started for the Buffalo Bisons and threw 3 3/2 and struck out 8.
Yes.
So slightly ridiculous, but obviously they're still trying to lengthen him out. And even with striking out 8 players, he, yeah, that's a lot of pitches in 3 2/3. I hope they figure out how to, you know, stretch. Because yep. Otherwise, that's still falling into the Blue Jays having a ridiculous opener situation and still having to throw in somebody like Anthony Kay or whoever after him. So it's still a bullpen day if you've got somebody like Nate Pearson coming in only throwing smoke for 3 innings. So I think that as they build him up, though, but that start was on Tuesday.
He's in line for Sunday.
And that's what oddly is weird to me. It's like they're trying to do that. But I'd rather watch him throw smoke for 2-3, make sure he's right down there. Because, God, I didn't see any video on it or anything. I don't know. I'm sure the Blue Jays have seen some tape on him or anything. But for all I know, every other pitch, he was not getting things where he needed to get them. So it could be a control thing just as much as we saw in the spring. It'd be nice to see him be right before the Blue Jays bring him up instead of just having to pull the ripcord and bring him up too early, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one thing I worry about, though. But it seems to be the case, at least in how I view it, is that the Blue Jays are hedging a lot of their success on Nate Pearson, and that's something that you necessarily don't want to rush. So, look, from what I'm understanding, also him and Manoah have a nice friendly back and forth competition right now. And if both of them are ready, fuck it. Let's go.
Speaking of pull the ripcord, Manoah's already pitching tonight, honestly. And he's, you know, he's got one out. The game started like 5 seconds ago. So just saying.
One and done. All right, so speaking of the minor leagues, well, sort of, let's move on. Look, June 1st, the Jays will be officially heading back to Buffalo, this time with fans in attendance. Craig, as our resident Western New Yorker, how long do you anticipate this to last, and could this benefit the Jays in a division that's already pretty close, as we've already mentioned?
You talk about waking up the bats. How does that not help? I don't know what they did with the ballpark in Dunedin, but that was definitely a more hitter-friendly ballpark pre-renovation. I know that the Yankees already come to town in Dunedin and already bitched about it a million times over, but it's those tall walls are not helping the Blue Jays bats in Dunedin at all. And that they're supposedly the same dimensions as the Rogers Center. I'll believe it when I see it, and fun with physics and math and all that kind of good shit. So, but I think the if they're going to have fans in the ballpark, will completely enamor themselves with the Toronto Blue Jays being in town for one season. And here in New York State, and even Brett, Adam, I think you sent that article about Cuomo saying that things are good to go for the Mets and the Yankees to start having full attendance, but only if you can prove that you've gotten both your COVID vaccines. So
yeah, and they're also offering shots.
There is there. That. So just yes. In case you show up at the ballpark, here, take a shot in the arm.
You
good
get
luck.
A free vaccine.
Wow.
So if that I know everybody always thinks that New York is like the freaking Star Wars movie with the planet that is all one monster fucking city. On the other side of New York, there's not much city. You just all of a sudden run into Syracuse, Rochester, and Buffalo on the same thruway, you know. But it's completely different over here, and the ballpark's not as big. So if they're applying those rules in New York City, here in Rochester, Buffalo area, things are going to be a lot more normal, and they'll be able to get a minor league baseball park maybe filled with Blue Jays fans, or at least the Bills Mafia throwing some people through some tables and stuff, you know. who was the rookie for that the Bills drafted the other night that already dropped himself through a table?
Yeah.
Was it the second-round pick?
Either way.
Right?
Yeah.
All right, so it was the fourth round pick, I think.
You talk about regardless. Having some fans that are starving for sports, it would be the Buffalo Nation, and I think the Blue Jays are going to benefit from that relationship, hands down. It'll be nice to get some revenue back to the club. Obviously, I would say a good chunk of that's going to go to, you know, the Buffalo Bisons and Salem Field for displacing them and everything, but in the midst of that, how can you really turn down having anybody in the damn ballpark? And hopefully that we can get the border open so Brendan can meet me down here for a few beers and goof around again. And Adam, we got to get you on a road trip. I'm ready to buy tickets on the 13th.
Do it.
Our road trip. I'll be there live if I have to be.
Yeah, Brendan, yeah, if you ever needed incentive to get your vaccine sooner, just take a plane ride to New York and see a Yankees or a Mets
game. Pick you up at the airport.
Hey, just do it.
If they'll give it to me, I would just pay for it. That.
Yeah. I'll see if I can find somebody that'll just come give you a shot at the airport. Maybe they'll be handing them out there because apparently they can.
I'm down, man. Adam, your question about how long this will go for. Personally, I just would just rather them just spend the rest of the year there because we know how successful they were last year. But also, I think it'd just be a nice way to thank the city. It also just seems like a lot to move the club three different times to three different cities, and including a different country. I know it's not that different, but still.
It's only a short bus ride right from Buffalo.
Yeah.
I think that would be the ideal thing, but you know better than most us on the rest of the show, Brendan. How is that going to even happen? I don't see that being super realistic for them playing in Toronto, unfortunately, this year.
65% of Ontarians 18 plus should have their first dose by the end of May. Okay. So it is trending in the right direction pretty quickly.
Good deal.
But no, to your point, yeah, it's just all a matter of what happens with the border at this point. I don't know if it's vaccine passports, if you have to have both of your vaccinations or just one, or whatever it is. So I don't know what the timeline for the border reopening is, but if it does, I'm probably going to take a risk on tickets just for a series, maybe in late August or September, just in case I can go. And if I can't, Craig, they're yours.
I was going to say, worst case scenario, I'll reimburse you.
Yeah. And you know what? People are starved for stuff to do. So I really don't think it'd be hard to sell your tickets. I asked this question last night on Twitter. Blue Jays fans in Ontario, if the Blue Jays spend the rest of the season in Buffalo, are you willing to take a risk on buying tickets when they go on sale in the event you have both of your vaccines and you have a vaccine passport to be able to cross? I didn't get too many responses because I think this was at like 11 p.m. and a lot of people went to bed. But there were some people who said, no, that's too risky. But I'm like, yeah, you'll be able to sell your tickets. No problem. I don't think it's going to be an issue. There's going to be fans. People want to do stuff. So I think it'll be great. It'll be great to see more fans than Dunedin and probably more passionate fans and not as many road fans, because there was a lot of Angels fans. There was a lot of Braves fans. There was a lot of Yankees fans. Basically, every team that came to Dunedin, there was a lot of the opposing fans there instead of the Blue Jays fans.
That
so
is one series like, I'm not looking forward to in Buffalo. When they play the Yankees, like mid-June, that's going to be a home game for the Blue Jays, and it's going to look like a Yankee home game, I think.
I wonder. I wonder. I'll be there.
Because that's how I can get my family there.
I think I said this a few weeks ago. I've noticed more and more people with Buffalo as their location and their Twitter having Blue Jays in their bio if they list their sports teams. And I think that's part of the reason from last year and proximity to Toronto, and they're going to play there again. They might be able to win some people over.
Yeah. I'm sure having Bo and Vlad playing there didn't hurt any either. Just to mention it, because I clicked on the, you know, the minor league pages and stuff. Roddy Tellez just hit a 2-run home run for the Buffalo Jersey Bisons.
He should be.
He just did.
He should be live. He should be mashing. So look, I'm looking at their schedule right now. So I have good news and bad news. And again, this is unconfirmed. This is all tentative. But the bad news, I'll start there. It doesn't look like the Jays will be in Toronto come Canada Day. No. They are scheduled until the 4th of July in Buffalo, New York. If you go to their schedule on their homepage, on their .com, it lists every home game up until July 1st in italics in Buffalo, New York. However, July 16th, where they host the Rangers, that is not there. So maybe they're thinking after, and that is the first series after the All-Star break. So maybe they're thinking around that time at the quote unquote midway point of the season, they'll be back in Toronto. So it's bittersweet. They could be back in mid July, but they're not back enough, soon enough rather, for Canada Day. So, I mean, look, we talk about this off air. It's no secret last year. I love Canada Day. I take the 2 days off. The actual Canada Day and the second, no matter what, so I can just get sloshed, drink some blues all day, and just, you know,
Brendan
my wife
ketchup chips, you know, it's a big
everything
thing.
Yeah. Hell yeah. So I, you know, on that line, Brendan, how much of a bummer, again, we didn't have this last year either, but how much of a bummer is it to not be able to have the Blue Jays play in Canada on Canada Day? And do you think, as the Blue Jays, you know, the only Canadian team, that they'll still make it a thing in Buffalo as much as they would have in Toronto?
They should. They absolutely should. The one interesting thing about them playing in Dunedin, and I guess it makes sense, it's on American soil, but they play the Canadian anthem first and then the American anthem.
Yes.
So I don't know if just for that day you do the American anthem first and then the Canadian anthem. I don't know how that kind of stuff works in terms of how that all goes about, but they better. I mean, it's probably still going to stay. Let's see. Yeah, it's still showing 107 as the first pitch. I know that's a getaway day. It's the last day of the series, but it's still a 1 o'clock game.
I mean, they're still home.
Yeah, exactly. So it's still there. So I'm assuming there will be the festivities. And I don't. Yeah, I mean, I just wonder how many Canadians do live in the Niagara region, the Niagara, New York region, that would. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. I'm assuming that'll be all Canada Day themed. But yeah, it is kind of a bummer that it can't be here, because at one point I was pretty optimistic about it. Yeah. And then Ontario hit into a third wave and a bad one, mm-hmm. one of the worst in the world. And we got locked down like one of the worst in the world. So that we fucked ourselves over in Ontario by not being able to have them back here for Canada Day. Not that that is the ultimate thing that matters. I think we all want to move on. But still, as a Blue Jays fan, you guys know what I mean. It is interesting. I guess that makes sense to them to maybe reevaluate things as we get closer to Canada Day. They go on a road trip and then see where vaccinations are like in Ontario and where things sit and how many daily cases there are in the month of June and whatnot and what the trends are like. I guess that would be the most logical time to make that switch back to Toronto if it can happen. And if it just can't for whatever reason, at that point, just play the rest of the season at Salem Field, in my mind. Don't, like, because there's no other time. You only have a day off here, a day off there. this makes sense. You have four, you have a whole bunch of days to get the equipment down. Players can get settled back into their apartments or hotels or wherever they're going to stay. So that seems like that will be the deciding factor right then. Will they come back to Toronto? We'll find out right around Canada Day, probably, what things look like in terms of if they can come back for that Rangers series.
Okay. How many of them do you think even have places in Toronto when they haven't been able to go over the border?
That's true.
Yeah, probably yeah, none.
I don't think George Springer's been shopping for a place up there yet until he knows he can go over. I'm not trying to be mean or anything. I'm just saying.
No.
That's how screwed up everything is.
I don't think he's had the opportunity to do it.
Probably not.
He hasn't been able to fully get embraced by the Canadian culture yet.
No.
Next year.
But, you know, look, I think it's going to be interesting. I think that, you know, I get it. I'm not, you know, Canadian. I'm, you know, people have dubbed me Canadian, whatever.
Mostly the guy up in the top right now.
Yeah, you know, like, I appreciate it. I like I said, I celebrate Canada Day. I celebrate Canada Day harder than I do the 4th of July, which is weird because I was born and raised in America, but I digress. What's cool about this, though, you know, as an American, and Craig, I think you could speak to this as well, seeing the Jays play in Canada on the 4th of July, it's really not been big. I bet you, you know, if things stay the way they are, they're still going to play Canada Day in Buffalo and Independence Day Buffalo. That's a fucking weekend banger.
If you want to do it.
Yeah, you should live in Buffalo or up Western New York.
They need to hurry up and let me stop buy tickets for
just,
that then.
Yeah, just go. just go there and just have a weekend. Because you already have the Monday off. Just rave all weekend. That is
That's right. The 4th of July is on a Monday this week or this year, isn't
it? Well, it's observed on the Monday. It lands on a Sunday. So everyone has the Monday off. So if you're going to get sloshed on the 4th of July, I'm sure Salem will have some sort of firework festivities or somewhere in Buffalo there'll be fireworks festivities. Man, it sounds kind of fun. I mean, I'm just trying to look at the bright side. But again, I do think come mid-July, if cases are down in Toronto, and Brennan, you just mentioned that there's going to be vaccine rollouts, and you say 16 plus by the end of May?
18 plus 65% of Ontarians. That's what they're on track for.
Good. Okay, so it will be almost herd immunity within the region at the very least.
Yep.
Obviously not all of Canada, but at least in the region. It's all you can ask for. And the quicker they can get into Toronto, if they make the postseason and they're like, yo, October in Toronto, that'd be
boom. Blow it up.
Don't get me too excited, man. That would be unreal.
Just to say it, if the Blue Jays are listening to this podcast ever and they miss out on an opportunity of making that a Canada Day broadcast, at least for that weekend, and just treat it like it is just, you know, a different venue for Canada Day, they're really screwing up and messing up some stuff. They got to wear the red jerseys. They got to have everything for out. Sure. Bring the Canadian flag out on the damn field. Do everything. It shouldn't be a big deal.
Yeah.
That's their home for the season. You should treat it as such.
Yeah, I agree. And look, when it comes to, again, that postseason comment, I was half kidding about that, but seriously, if they make the postseason and they're hosting games, I'm sorry, I do not want to see any postseason game in a AAA ball. I don't.
No, well, not to mention, you're missing out on the Thunderdome idea if you freaking don't bring up everybody up there. If you have a chance to sell out the Rogers Center versus Salem Field, fuck, come on, there's not a comparison there. Brendan was at the Jose Bautista game. He knows how ridiculously loud that is. I don't know how any pitcher even can concentrate in that environment. It's nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. All right, let's move on to our final topic, and I guess it's better news. Ryu made his return today in Oakland, pitching 5 innings, giving up 4 earned runs, 6 strikeouts, and 1 walk. Looked pretty good. His stuff wasn't necessarily that bad, but the location was suspect. It seemed like in the beginning, you know, typical low point, right? Ryu start where he, you know, starts off kind of slow, but then he gets into his groove come the 3rd and 4th inning. Wasn't that bad. He had the run support when it mattered. He ended up getting the win for this. So look, Brendan, how important is it to you for Ryu to maintain a constant presence for this team, given all the injuries we talked about, and especially given that this rotation is hit or miss? I don't want to throw Matt under the bus, but he hasn't been looking that great, at least his past 2 starts. So having a guy like Ryu to anchor the rotation is, for me, obviously important. How important do you think it is for the team?
Oh, huge, especially because you know you can probably count on him for six or seven innings every outing. Maybe he'll have his odd five-inning start like he did today, but he's the day where losing streaks come to an end and gives him the best chance to win, and he is the day where most of the guys down in the bullpen can expect to have the night off. We're getting very close to that last three starts for Robbie Ray, too, which is fantastic. He's been really damn good his last three starts too, and it's crazy, he hasn't even walked a guy in his last three starts. Like, this is a whole new pitcher, and if you have those two guys going the way they are moving forward, you have a very nice top two in your rotation. I think even Matt's didn't do himself any favors by starting off as good as he is, because the crash of the last two games is now being blown out of proportion way more than I think it needs to be, because he wasn't pitching to under a 3 ERA for the entire season. I expect him to be between 350 and 415, 420 by the end of the season, and that's all you can expect, and that's fine for a guy who maybe will give you 180 innings to 200, maybe 170. Pretty good. But that's fine for a three starter, man. When you got an offense like the Blue Jays that can hit, that's more than fine. And then when Pearson comes up, and if he is stretched out, then it's even better. Matz gets pushed down to the fourth spot. So I think, it's incredibly important for Ryu to get back, and his next start should be on an extra day's rest because they have Monday off against the Braves. And I would expect him to go out there and pick up right where he left off from before he hurt his butt.
Don't get all butthurt about it. Neither about Steven Matz either. I think right now that Ryu is just like, it's exactly what we need. That stuff I was rattling off about the bullpen earlier, that was with Ryu during those stats. If you don't have Ryu in those stats, especially every fifth day, that number is only going to grow, and we're only playing with fire that much more often. Robbie Ray has been a godsend. Do I expect him to keep doing as well as he's been doing? I'm not going to say expecting it, but I'm going to love it if it does. But Robbie Ray is looking like the near Cy Young Award winner that we saw when he was with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Something has clicked, and maybe it is the stupid thing we were talking about, the catcher just putting down the number one and saying go. But Steven Matz, honestly, I have not seen the same pitcher the last two starts as we saw his first two starts. And I think a lot of it, guys, I don't know if you have noticed it, but he has completely enamored with what the hell he's getting calls on, and it is driving me fucking nuts because he's not letting anything go. It's like, okay, the umpire called it, move on to the next pitch, deal with it. The first bad start he had a week ago, it was getting to the point where the umpire was squeezing him to the point where it looked like he was literally only going to fit a baseball through a pipe. It needed to be a pipe this big, and you're not going to get a strike outside of that.
Right.
The other night, that similar thing happened, but it wasn't quite as bad as it, or as exaggerated anyway. But you could just see him getting irked on the mound. It is like Marcus Stroman all over again a little bit, just without the other terrible bullshit with social media going on. I think if he can calm down and settle in on this stuff a little bit, I love that he pitches with emotion a little bit to the point where he's that invested in the game. But there is a point where you got to let things roll off. Just worry about focusing the pitch, throwing the pitch. Do not sit there and dwell on the last one. You know, I quote one of my favorite baseball movies ever: "Don't think, meet, just throw." Yep. And it's Bull Durham for the people that haven't watched that movie. And if you haven't watched that movie, it is one of the best baseball movies you can watch.
I agree. I think that having Ryu in this rotation, given all the hiccups, given all the injuries, is super important, especially if this team wants to continue to be over 500 and to avoid that dark cloud that's chasing us that we were just talking about. Matz, I feel, gets not only did I notice that, Craig, he falls in love with pitches that just aren't consistent of his best stuff. Threw a lot of sliders the other day in Oakland, and it just, I mean, just left him right there to feast on.
Part of that is, I think that's what he's not keeping the consistent touch on his pitches. Yeah. And I think that's why he's falling in love, like you're mentioning, with certain pitches.
Well, again, that's up to Jansen to come out and to be like, what the fuck are you doing, bro? let's do what's working. But that's a whole different conversation. That's veteran shit right there. But look, when it comes to the starting pitching, if Ryu is healed, right? Assuming that we're not dealing with this, this juggling act when it comes to injuries. Good, because we need to start getting some stability in these things. I'm tired of looking at probable pitchers and looking at the week and be like, well, we don't know quite yet what's going on.
That was like last week.
Yeah, it's happening again this weekend. And you would imagine that it will probably, I think Anthony Kay slated if it were to be on Sunday, I believe. Yeah. So whatever. I mean, you could do a lot worse than Anthony Kay anyway. I don't know. I think it's important. Hopefully this does something for the rotation, and obviously it gives the offensive side a little bit of confidence to be able to give some run production as well, which in turn relax Ryu, which I think is what we saw today. All right, look, we're closing in on the show. I want to get in our picks to click and revisit them from last week, and we're going to do our prediction for the next two series, 3 at Houston, 3 at Atlanta, and those three Houston games, I'm sure George Springer is playing in. But what do we got for the picks to click last week, Craig?
Well, to what you guys had mentioned beforehand, that Chris Key has very adamantly said that he's carrying over his pick of Robbie Ray. So if you're listening, Chris, here you go. We're keeping Robbie Ray as your pick. I had Randall Grichuk.
That's going to be tough
saying.
To beat.
And I predicted 4-3. Adam, you had Vladdy, also not
Hell
a bad
yeah.
pick, 4-3. And then you, unfortunately, Brendan, got one start from George Springer.
It was
a good one. Just saying. So I'll leave it up to you guys because I'll give you a 50-50, I think, right now between Grichuk and Ray. But Ray had the one start, or did he get two in?
That's right. Yes.
Yeah, he got the Atlanta start in, which he pitched well, and he got the Oakland start in yesterday.
Pitched well.
In typical Randall Grichuk fashion, it was very streaky. It was like, good game here, 0-4. Good game there, on a home run today. So,
yeah. Ooh, this is tough.
I'm not trying to slap your Vladdy pick aside, Adam, I swear.
I need a win.
Vladdy had a really good quiet week. You know what I mean? It was just new Vladdy all week. It wasn't like three home run game Vladdy.
No.
It was just he's batting .333. Just saying.
Yeah. Over the last week, yeah.
No, period. That's his season now. .333. He's literally doing the best baseball thing you could do is get a hit one third of the time.
Yeah.
So if we're gonna go from the Atlanta series, baseball reference doesn't have today's game. Over the past six games, minus today, he was hitting .350 with an OBP of .510, slugging .450, and an OPS of .969. No home runs, too. Yeah, six walks.
And he had a good chunk of ribbies in that time frame too, didn't he?
Just three.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Grichuk did that all in one game. So. Like I said, I don't know what the hell to do on that one, and I'm honestly wondering if we vote, put it up on Twitter to make everybody give us a real pick for this and put a vote to it. Who had the best week out of those four guys?
I need a win here.
Everybody has one win except for Adam. Does anybody have two yet?
I do. So you're going to just take it away from me on that? I'll probably never get a win the rest of the season again.
It's tough because my heart is – or my head is pulling me towards – Vlad, but I deep down know that this team's unsung hero offensively has been Grichuk, because without him, I don't know where they'd be.
I'd
give you both a point. I have no problem with that. Or you guys half a point each.
No, put it up on a poll.
Okay. I'll put it up on a poll. We'll put up the BJ Nation.
Yeah.
Decider picks the click. Tiebreaker.
Sorry, Chris Key won as the guest spot the week before, so
I'll put him in the vote too. Fuck it.
Yeah, sure. You know what? Great pitch, fantastic. Those two starts. I think all three.
We'll
of you
keep
are
the guest spot rolling for him on that. So,
you know what we should do?
What's
we
up?
Should weekly, before the show, put up the four picks, R3 and plus the guest, and have the fans vote for that and see if they coincide with what we think.
That's a good idea.
You know what I'm saying? Before
just to
the
put
show,
it out
so
there, Chris is preaching his case on the chat right now, and just it's a bunch of exclamation points, and it's Robbie fucking Ray, and over and over and over again. It's like he's got it on a loop. We should have invited him on the show and said Robbie fucking Ray and then kicked him out.
That's it. Robbie Ray has put on some serious muscle. He is alpha as fuck right now.
He is. I don't remember him being that big last year, man. His arms are bowling balls.
That's what I'm saying.
Was it you that sent the picture of him just like perfect or whatever earlier on Twitter?
I took a screenshot of him with his really tight pants, straight on shot of him, and I just said perfection.
There it is. Dude, he's got like the faux hawk going on too. If you look under the hat, he's got the...
It's like the
hawk going.
Like retro Josh Donaldson Viking look again.
A little bit.
A little bit.
Going toward I was saying to Sarah today, if they had him under contract for just one more year, if it was a two-year deal, he would be very much a Jersey candidate right now. I've fallen in love with him over the last few starts.
Yeah. It's very much a part of Blue Jays culture now at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So no
Chris's final comment was start the episode over and he'll join in.
Yeah. This is the trial run. All right, let's do our predictions. Three at Houston, three at Atlanta. What do we got? Brendan, you can go.
3-3. I think they continue the good times against Atlanta and win 2-3, I hope. That is also slated to be Robbie Ray and Hyunjin Ryu in two of those games. So I think you win two there. I'm less optimistic about Houston. I'll take one win. I think Mats gets back on track on Saturday a little bit. And according to Charlie Montoyo, we'll see who pitches on Sunday. So I don't know if that's Anthony Kay. I don't know if that's Nate Pearson. My guess will be it's going to be Anthony Kay.
Yeah.
Going up Zach Greinke, which will be interesting. I would love to see some of his famous 58-mile-per-hour ephuses that he's been throwing. I think that'd be really cool to watch. Give me one in Houston. It's going to be tough. They're a good team, and I really think they're going to struggle tomorrow with Urquidy. He's really, really good.
You want to get your pick?
Oh, yeah, sure. My pick to click for this week is Teoscar Hernandez.
There it is.
Yep.
He had some really good hard contact this week.
Yeah.
I think the ball is going to start dropping for Teoscar.
Yep. And he's looked way better than he did before he got COVID. And I'm not happy that he got COVID. That sucks for him, and he had some mild symptoms, but he's looked like a new man since he's come back. So
there you go. So I guess it's mine. I'm going to be a little bit more optimistic that we're going to take I think unfortunately, the Atlanta Braves are going to come back and bite us in the butt a little bit. I think we're only going to take one out of that series, but I have a strange feeling that we're actually going to sweep the freaking Astros.
Ooh.
I don't know why. I think it's the way the pitching is going to line up for them. We're going to be facing the back end of the rotation, I think. So I think we'll be okay on that one. And I just have a strange feeling that the Blue Jays will be hyped up for that series, especially if we do get tanked by the Atlanta Braves over the weekend. They're going to be like, let's go.
Yeah.
And on that note, I'm going to take Hyunjin Ryu because I want to see him get a ridiculous bounce back after he got the only slight bounce back today.
Yep.
All right. I think if George Springer was healthy, we would have swept the Astros. But seeing as though that's not a reality, I think I'll go one against Houston and two against Atlanta. Is that what you had too, Brennan?
Yep.
Yes, I'm going to go same on that. And my pick to click, it'd be really ballsy of me to just go Danny Jansen because he hit a home run today. I'm not going
to
do it.
I don't think there's enough collective balls in this group to make that pick.
Yeah.
What if, Adam, if you don't get the win through the Twitter poll and you do something as ballsy as taking Reese McGuire, if he got one hit, I would give you the win next week.
You won the season.
If you want to take that bet, all Reese needs is one hit between now and when we next record, and you get the win no matter what any of our other picks.
That's not
even
pick
if it's
to
a
click,
fielder's
that's
choice.
Pick to luck.
Yeah. No, I can't give you a fielder's choice. It needs to be a very clean base hit.
Kills three ants in front of the plate. Okay.
Yeah. No, I can't be that bold. Let me go. I'm gonna ride it. Let me go Grichuk on this. Wait a minute. Did you pick Grichuk?
I did not. That was my last pick.
Okay. All right. I'll go Grichuk on this one.
So just to say it, because Vlad Lust is a thing, you're going to end up winning the pick the click probably.
Hey.
Go Poles. But anyway, good deal. And during that same poll that I'll put out after the show, we will also include in the chat the pick the click that'll need to be in for the fan vote slash guest spot for next week's show. Please have that in before Friday's game starts.
Okay, cool. So there you go. And speaking of next week, this is our final Thursday show. Sorry, next week will be our final Thursday show of this stretch. We will return to Wednesday evening live come May 19th. So again, set your calendars next Thursday. We will be doing this again. I want to say that is May 13th. And then the following week, we will be returning to Wednesdays. The Blue Jays do have a game that night, but there's no getaway game. There's no day off the next day. So they'll be playing the Red Sox live. We can talk through it. We can have the coverage for you. We'll be talking Blue Jays regardless. So again, May 19th. Back to Wednesdays, May 13th, still Thursday. That being said, thank you all for listening. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. Shout out to my wife, whose birthday lands on Mother's Day. She is my deck stacked when it comes to Mother's Day. I have to throw down, double down on that with a birthday gift.
Gotta do the one-up, man.
Happy birthday, Cindy.
Yes, thank you. She will be very appreciative of that. If you haven't subscribed to the show already, please do. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere you get your podcast fix from, we are there. If you want to catch us live when we do these shows, we are on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Twitch, everywhere you get your live video feed from, we are there. And we would love to interact with you. We would love for you to join us on a weekly basis to talk Blue Jays. Fan interaction is key, especially when it comes to the picks to click. So that being said, let's finish this off as we always do with two claps and Ric Flair, and let's go Blue Jays, guys.
Let's go Blue Jays. Sweep the Astros.
Know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.